gentlemen, please put your hands together for the hardest working man in the game industry, the one-man vortex of gaming information, the man who went out with Zelda and then dumped her, ladies and gentlemen, Gaming Steve!
Hey there, welcome to Gaming Steve, the home of intelligent game discussion. I'm your host, Steve Glicker, and in this week's show, go through some gaming news, go through what I've been playing, what I've been up to, go through a little bit of show mail, and then we'll call it a day. So with that, let's jump right into the show and go to gaming news.
Gaming news!
So probably the biggest news that has come out this week is that there is an upgraded PlayStation 4 coming out, codenamed Neo, that has an upgraded GPU, CPU, RAM, can handle 4K, 4K Ultra, HD, all the bells and whistles. So the hubbub is basically a new version of PlayStation 4 will be coming out. And developers, the reason it's leaked is because the developers have been getting specs and some news sources have been able to get some of these specs outlining exactly how the developers should be creating these games so that they can be used for both the upgraded PlayStation 4, I'll just call it Neo, for the Neo as well as the old PS4. What makes this kind of fascinating is that the games will work on both. So developers are going to have to upgrade some of their past games to make it work with the PS4. Exactly how is a little unclear. And as well as they'll be able to create games currently, so they're coming out in the near future, that will have the upgraded Neo features. So what does this mean? Not exactly sure, because this has never really been done before. I mean, we've seen upgrades in consoles in the past, but those have been fairly small upgrades, like maybe a little bit more processing power, obviously larger hard drives, things like that, but nothing that actually changes the fundamental core of the game. So if you bought an Xbox 360 game from year one or year 10, it still pretty much works the same. This is like two versions of the same game will be available to you going forward, sort of a low-res version and a high-res version. Now, exactly why Sony is doing this has kind of been the big question that everyone's been talking about. There's a lot of reasons to go in there from a business point of view. You have their synergies with their other, you know, divisions within Sony. Obviously, they can sell more HD TVs and 4K TVs. They can sell you more movies that are upgraded to 4K and DVD players and so forth. Anything that has to do with their media division and upgrading to 4K. Also, right now, Sony PlayStation is hot again. You know, it was like very, very hot and very cool when the PS3 came out, and now it's hot again. And I think they're trying to ride the PS4 as much as possible, and they're trying to give other divisions within Sony sort of something to latch onto. So I can see a lot of, I've seen this happen in companies before, that there's a lot of other divisions that want to sort of jump onto the PS4 bandwagon, and they figured that this can kill a lot of birds with one stone. What also is interesting is that this will help them gain yet a further lead and cause Xbox, probably not so much Nintendo, but cause Microsoft to react, which is, as you've seen, this generation of consoles has been happening quite a bit, is that Sony has been really, really good at getting under Microsoft's skin and causing them to be reactive. And this is going to make this went from a fairly boring to now an interesting E3. I'll be very curious to see how Sony positions this and what their reasoning is behind this, because this can backfire quite a bit. This could have, you know, consumers feeling that they have an inferior version of the PS4. So, you know, this can go two ways. This can have a lot of backlash. People feel like they've invested all this time and money in their old PS4. Now they get to get the new one. And, you know, this is not exactly the cheapest piece of hardware. Then suddenly the market could get flooded with old PS4s, because supposedly these are going to be sold at the same time. You're going to still have the old PS4 and the Neo being sold side by side. So how Sony's going to handle it, I'm not sure, because suddenly I can see the market getting flooded with older PS4s, especially with some of the hardcore gamers. Or maybe they're going almost a cell phone market strategy. It's like, you know, if you use the Apple iPhone as an example, you have like the low, medium, and high ends of the cell phones. Maybe they're figuring, okay, we'll have sort of a low-end version of the PS4, which is still fantastic, and then the high-end version of the PS4, which is also going to be fantastic. It also allows them to extend the range and lifetime of the PS4. Again, this never really seen this happen before. This was tried way back when, if you remember the Sega, when they had, was the 32X, if you remember, that was expanded memory. And, you know, it came out, it was this big hunking piece of plastic, for those who don't know, that it was like the old system, the old Genesis. It was like 16-bit graphics. Well, this is 32-bit graphics. So it was enhanced graphics. You can use your existing system. You would buy this big hunk of plastic. You can buy enhanced games. And it never really went anywhere. It was way, obviously, ahead of its time. So I guess that's the only instance I can think of off the top of my head that really kind of did this before. So it's going to be fascinating to see this thing come out and see how it's received by the public. I know a lot of people are going to buy it. I mean, I, of course, you know, I have to buy one at least because I have to have everything, being a hardcore gamer and all. So you have to make sure, you know, you go out and get yours if you're the gaming type. Then what do you do with your old one? I guess I can give it to the kids, or you give it to your parents or something, or you give it to, I don't know, sell it on eBay. But it's also going to make it a lot more difficult for the developers, because they're going to have to actually now develop two versions of the same game. A lot of them kind of do that anyhow. They're already developing very high-end versions of their games, and then they usually downscale them to get them to run as efficiently as possible on the consoles. One thing that's why a lot of people prefer PC games is because the PC versions are usually almost the unfiltered versions, where the graphics aren't downgraded, the textures aren't downgraded, more advanced lighting effects, things like that. But this also can now start, because Microsoft is going so far into the Windows 10 phenomenon of trying to link the PCs and Windows 10 and the Xbox One all together. And a lot of people, you know, if it's a choice between a PS4 game or a PC game, unless it's an exclusive, someone like myself will usually get the PC game, especially if your machine can handle it, just for the ease of use. But, you know, I'm going to think twice if the PS4 can use my 4K TV and it's going to look that much better and play that much smoother without having to spend thousands of dollars to upgrade your PC, which you'll do eventually. You know, this is going to be a fascinating transition. I'm very excited to see Sony take the guts to do something like this. It's also going to be, I have no idea what Xbox and Microsoft's going to do. Nintendo will ignore everyone as usual. They'll just go their own little way with their NX system. So next up, Hearthstone expansion, Whispers of the Old God, is going to be released on April 26th. I imagine a lot of you guys are Hearthstone fans. I play quite a bit as well. I'm an old school Magic player, actually from Alpha. I still have a 4-digit DCI number. And so that's coming out, Whispers of the Old God, 134 new cards. Something to make sure you're aware of, Goblins vs. Gnomes is probably going away. Because they already announced that it's going to go away soon. I imagine it's going to go away the same time that Whispers of the Old Gods comes out, or shortly after. So if you need any of those cards, get them now. And they've also going to be changing over to a new format where they have sort of, I forgot the official terms, but if you play Magic, it's almost like a standard league and then a legendary league. So that's how it's going to work for Hearthstone now, is that there'll be one league where you can play with all your cards, and then there'll be a new league where you can only really play with the newest cards, which is going to really something Hearthstone needs. I love the game. It's a fantastic game, but the biggest problem with it right now is that it's really becoming a little rote. If you will. And, it's very hard to sort of get to the upper echelons of Legends, of the highest rankings. There's just so many more people playing it. I don't really like the system of how they do the rankings, but by separating it out, it'll be able to let you play, you know, definitely it'll take the existing player base, sort of kind of split them in half, which is good. Hopefully they come up with more modes and ways to play so you can take this expanding player base and sort of cut into little pieces, because right now so many people are playing the same version that it really gets hard to rank up at the later end of the spectrum when it comes to playing Hearthstone. Also up in Hearthstone is that for basic and classic cards, there is a big amount of nerfs that came up. This is going to happen with the Whispers of the Old Gods. Wild and Standard. Sorry, that's the name. Wild and Standard. That's the split it's being called. If you read through them, there looks like the game is getting slowed down quite a bit. Ironbeak Owl goes from 3 mana... from 2 mana to 3 mana. You have Big Game Hunter goes from 3 mana to 5 mana. You have Blade Juggler. His attack is getting reduced from 3 to 2. Leper Gnome, 2 to 1. Those are some of those popular cards around. Leper Gnome especially is really popular. Some of the other ones are a little odd. It looks like they're nerfing some of the Druid cards. Druid's already kind of weak to begin with, so I'm kind of surprised by that. But overall, it looks like they're really slowing the game down. Especially for Hunter, which sucks because I always play Hunter. It's like my class to go to. It's sort of what I play 99% of the time. But I can see why they're doing it. If you look at how Magic has been worked out over the years, is because all the cards are within the same set and they can't really adjust them, that the game has slowly gotten more and more powerful over the years. And if you look at what is considered like a rare or really amazing card from 10 plus years ago, that would be considered almost a common card today. So the advantage of Hearthstone and these online systems is that they can make these games and adjust them on the fly. So if one game is going, one card or deck type is going too fast, then they could adjust it. They obviously have to be very, very, very careful with this, because if you piss off too much of the community and feel like they've invested so much time and effort into certain archetypes and cards, and now they're getting nerfed to oblivion, they're going to get pissed and stop playing the game. Of course, considering Hearthstone has probably approximately 50 million players from what I know, it's going to take a while to start upsetting people. And to continue with Blizzard news, because there just was a lot of it this week, is the World of Warcraft Legion expansion comes out August 30th. This is a little fascinating. It's strange, because I actually think it's usually early. That's usually expansions for WoW come out in the fall, Christmas time, like Thanksgiving time. This one's a weird time, August, but I think they were trying to target the movie. I think the movie comes out in July, and they were trying to target the movie, from what I know, but they missed. They're not going to exactly hit the movie. Plus, summer's kind of the dead time anyhow to release a game, so it's sort of the best of all worlds. They'll release it August 30th. Everyone's back from camp and summer vacation. People's vacations are winding down. Especially in Europe, August is really a really dead month. The almost like the whole continent shuts down. So you have, if you come out with a game during the summer, it can die on the branch, and I don't think they wanted that. So I think they're doing it. I think they probably could have released it in July, and they've just did the math and figured, end of August is a little bit better, and they'll sort of be the only kids on the block, because as a lot of the Christmas games come out in late October, early November, so they're going to sort of get a big rush on everyone. So I think it's actually excellent timing as someone who plays WoW quite a bit. Next up, you have Titanfall 2 is supposedly listed towards a 2016 release. So Titanfall 2 is a fascinating game, and why I decided to talk about it is because here was Respawn. The guys from Respawn have made some of the most popular and successful games of all time. When they left Activision and they decided to make Respawn, and EA scooped them up, Titanfall was supposed to be the biggest, baddest game ever made in existence. It was supposed to blow everyone out of the water. It was supposed to be played forever and ever, and it came and went incredibly fast. I remember playing it extensively. It was so much fun for like 2 weeks, and then I never picked it up ever again. from what I heard, that was pretty common. It seemed like a lot of people played it, and then for whatever reason, it just petered out. It definitely, you never hear about it. It's not played in tournament scenes at all. It sort of came and went. Why? You could do another podcast on that extensively, but I will be fascinated to see how they improve Titanfall 2. This is actually already a fairly crowded space. Now you have Blizzard and other games coming out in the similar space that they're going to have their work cut out for them. And just because they were who they were, everyone assumed that, hey, they're just going to make an amazing game and everyone's going to play it. Not so. That's not really how gaming works nowadays. In the old days, when there was a lot more control over distribution channels and what games get released and what's AAA, that might have been the case probably 10 years ago or so. But nowadays, you can not spend a single dime and you can have pretty much infinite gaming at your fingertips, whether it's on the phone or an iPad or a computer or a console. You don't have to spend a dime and you can just play forever. And on top of that, every single day, there's a new indie game that is just fantastic that's coming out. So that is Titanfall 2, supposedly coming out in 2016. We will see. Next, we have Red Dead Redemption 2 was supposedly leaked online, an image of the world. And the source close to the development for the new Red Dead Redemption game has confirmed that the new map is indeed the real deal. If this is true, I'll be very, very excited. For those of you who have never played RDR, Red Dead Redemption, I will tell you to go get it right now. Find your Xbox and your 360, get this game and play it. It is by far, or PS3, it is by far one of the greatest games ever made, period. I love this game beyond belief. It's never been released for the PC, which people still complain about to this day. You can't get it on your Xbox One. At least I don't think you can. I remember there was that leak where you couldn't, and I don't think it ever was released again, just by memory. It is an absolute masterpiece, and it is unlike anything you've ever played. It is. I always find the Rockstar games, anything not GTA except for GTA 5, I actually like all the non-GTA Rockstar games. I quite frankly love them all. I think Warriors is a masterpiece. I think Bully is a masterpiece. RDR is the pinnacle of gaming. I think it's one of the top five greatest games ever made from every aspect, from a gaming point of view, from a story point of view, from a technical point of view, from even a setting and music and sound effects point of view. And just being the play a Western is unlike anything you've ever done. So, as you can tell, I'm probably a little excited that RDR2 is coming out. We know nothing about it. Obviously, execution has to be perfect, and with the infighting that's going on with Rockstar, I'm worried about that, to be honest. So we'll be curious to see what they announce at E3, if anything. Knowing Rockstar, they will, if they do announce it, I doubt it comes out this year. They did already announced well, Take-Two announced Mafia 3 is coming out, so I doubt RDR2 would come out this year. It would be probably, if I'm going to guess, September next year at the soonest that it would come out. That's usually when they release their games. I imagine it will probably be a teaser trailer at E3 this year, and then everyone will get psyched, and then they'll spend the next year hyping it. Next up, we have the Xbox 360 production has ended. Yep, it's actually over. They actually, it's let's see, the Xbox 360 turned 10 years old last November, and it sold how many units did it sell? I do not know. I do not know. But it's 78 billion hours were spent gaming on it. Gained 486 billion gamer score from 27 billion achievements. So it, yeah, it's one of the probably best consoles of all time. It's definitely had a huge stronghold in America, not the rest of the world so much, but definitely America, one of the strangleholds on console gaming. And it is finally over, so everyone has to go to the Xbox One. Finally, I have a funny little one that I just read today, is that the Rambo game that came out 2 years ago, which Rambo the video game, which got pretty bad reviews, it actually came out with their download content, I think this week. I think it was like yesterday. That's so a game that no one really liked. The console, it didn't really sell very well. No one's heard from the developer in ages. They sort of closed down their line of communication. They posted on Twitter July 9th, I think was the last time. And then out of nowhere, poof, the download came out. No one can get in contact with them, but I guess maybe there was some legal obligations, I'm thinking, that they had to get it out. And I guess they didn't want to go out of business. So that's probably why this occurred, is that if they went out of business, they wouldn't have had to do this, but they probably still wanted to stay in business. They had some legal obligations, so they released the games. You'd be amazed how many games are released based on legal obligations, not based on when it's done or anything else. A good example of this was the Star Wars MMO, the first one. There was a hard deadline of when that game had to be released by LucasArts and Lucasfilm, and that game had to get released by that date no matter what. And it was pushed back several times, and then eventually it just was released because no matter what state it was in, because Lucas was going crazy, they were going to pull away the license, so they just released it no matter what. That is pretty common. That is unfortunately a lot more common, especially now where you can patch games to death. You have early access. You know, there's no such thing as a final product anymore. So, yeah, this is really not unexpected. So with that, we'll go to sort of what I've been doing and what I've been playing and go through a bit of that. Yeah, baby, I'm talking about Game Talk. Yeah, honey, I'm talking about Game Talk. So for those of you who've listened to my show before, this is a little bit new. I kind of do this a little bit, but I figured I'd make it a little bit more official. Since I'm one of those type of people who plays everything, and I mean pretty much everything, I play way too many games. I finish very few of them just because I get kind of bored very quickly. I'll play a game. If I play a game for 10 or 20 hours, it's a lot usually. 50 hours is a lifetime for me. I try to finish games. I really, really, really do. But then I get distracted by something else. And before you know it, you know, especially nowadays with indies coming out so frequently, there's pretty much a game every week that I want to buy and try. And there's only so many hours in a day. So some of the games I've been playing and some opinions on them. So Overwatch, there was a closed beta last weekend. By the way, closed open beta, or what should I say? It was closed, but you had to be invited, and it was a stress test weekend. So you got to play it for 2 days. Right now, other news, the closed beta goes till April 25th. For those of you who pre-order a game, you'll be able to play it on May 3rd. And then anyone will be able to play it from May 5th to May 9th. And after that, the release is May 24th for definitely the PC. I believe it's also coming out for Xbox and 360 on the same day. I think it comes out for everything at the same time. So, Overwatch. Okay. I have a lot of mixed feelings about this game. I cover a lot of Blizzard content because I know a lot of the Blizzard people, and I like their games. They're very popular. A lot of the listeners like to hear about Blizzard. I actually know one of the leaders on this team who was with this game from day one, and he built a lot of this game. A lot of his heart and soul went into this game, and he was there right until the end when it was still Titan, and they canceled it, and then he was let go. And he had a lot of vision for this game, and now it's sort of turned into a bit of what he expected. It's turned into Overwatch. And I will probably maybe do a show on the whole history of how Titan became Overwatch, because I have access to information that pretty much no one does. They did talk about this a bit, Jeff Kaplan and a couple of the guys, but I thought it's fairly fascinating from a business point of view of how a game gets transferred from one, you know, piece of property into another piece of property. So I have a lot of mixed feelings talking about this game because every time I think about and play it, I think about my friends who worked on it and those who don't work there anymore. But I do have to say that it is quite fantastic. What little I was able to play of it, I did find it fascinatingly fun. What I mean by that is there was another beta weekend for a game called Battleborn, which is very similar. For those of you who don't know, Overwatch is sort of a Team Fortress 2 type game, sort of like Dota and Team Fortress 2 combined. You know, most those of you who probably played Team Fortress 2, you know how it works. You have two teams, you have various games you can play, like capture points or escort missions and stuff like that. You have 9 different character types, and I'm greatly simplifying the game, but that's it. So you basically can play one of 9 different types. One's a healer type, one's a tank type, one can build turrets, one's a spy, a sniper, and so forth. With Overwatch, there's, I believe it's 21 different types of characters, and they're all really, really different. They're all really, really fun. That's the thing about this game. It's like, it's incredibly easy to pick up and play. It's incredibly easy to jump into a character. And as they've been doing, it is now also very hard to master. The Blizzard seems to have a knack, and I'm really simplifying how hard this is to do, of being able to make something easy to pick up, very hard to master. Doing that with a card game is one thing, but doing this with a first-person team shooter is something completely else, and they did it. The game looks amazing. It's polished beyond belief. It's just so much fun. You can jump in. The other thing is you could change your archetype at any time. So if you see that they're coming against you with a very heavy defensive unit, you can switch out your units immediately. Basically, just go back to your headquarters or die. You can change units on the fly. So it's sort of meta against meta. And it's not as restrictive as I find the MOBAs very restrictive in the sense that if you just have a bad matchup, you might as well just, you know, you can play, but then before you know it, within 5 minutes, you eventually know that you will die and there's no point to continuing to play the game. So this is, you always have a chance. I found that really one of the best parts about this game is that I was in games where you will get down to 99% capture, and then the other team takes over the capture point, and they win. Just because they changed their tactics, they changed their builds, they changed the meta, and they go against your team. And if your team doesn't adapt, then you'll lose. So it's a game that constantly changes while you play it. And the games are very quick, you know, 5-10 minute games. So I'm very excited to play it. Battleborn, on the other hand, is fascinating because it's nearly the same game. It has a little bit differences. There's a single player aspect to it, but it's more or less very similar. I can't even remember anything about it. I played it a bit and I remember playing a robot sniper and I thought it was cool, but it didn't stick with me like Overwatch did. I actually am almost embarrassed to say when I went to bed, I was like dreaming about like running as Overwatch just because the speed as well. It's so fast and so fluid. It's quite fun. That's actually a very much like a Team Fortress 2 build, but the Team Fortress 2 maps I find a little brown, a little sort of blah. I find the maps a little plain. While the Overwatch, everything is like day glow green, almost Pixar-esque, which I know is not an accident since they have many, many people on their team from Pixar. So that comes out soon. Next is Dark Souls 3. I've been playing this on the PC quite a bit. So Of all the games, I started out playing Demon's Souls. So Demon's Souls came out, was it 7 or 9 years ago? It was 2007. So I think it was 9 years ago that Demon's Souls came out. And that sort of was the beginning of this, where it was like this, you know, very hard game, where it was very easy to die. They were very obtuse in the instructions. It didn't hold your hands. It actually has a little bit of Monster Hunter to it, for those who play Monster Hunter, in that you have different styles and builds, and if you go too far in any one direction, your character can be very, very fast, but very, very weak, or your character can be very, very strong, but very, very slow, and Monster Hunter has a lot of that. It's sort of a mixture of that. Demon's Souls came out and took really the world by storm. Everyone was talking about it. Everyone was like trying to compare this to other games, saying how hard it was. It was sort of the big talk of the town when it came out. I actually never really liked Demon's Souls that much. I felt it was fairly unpolished. It was there was a lot of kill closets where you would walk and then the guy behind you would just jump out and try to kill you. It was just it had a lot of good ideas, but I actually found it a fairly difficult game to play. Not necessarily difficult in terms of difficulty, but the level designs were wonky. The game was really dark to the point of it was hard to actually see what the heck you were doing. It just felt like it was just unpolished. There was a nugget of an idea there that a lot of people latched onto and were able to play all the way through, but I just didn't really like it. Dark Souls 1, when that came out, was much better. Much more polished game. Outside environments, it was a lot easier to see. I understand a lot of games dark, but you don't need it so dark that you can't see anything. It just was a much better game. Dark Souls 2, I thought, was really good. I know a lot of people are divided about that game. I like Dark Souls 2 a lot. That's one of my probably my favorite game of the series. And now Dark Souls 3, I'm not that far into it, but I would say I really enjoy it a lot. Whether I've been playing these games too much and I'm just getting the hang of them, but I feel the difficulty curve is perfect. It's difficult without being too punishing. You can definitely get through the starting area fairly quickly. It's definitely so far a much better game than probably the other three in the series. I'm not including Bloodborne because Bloodborne is sort of like a stepchild to the Dark Souls, but it is it's definitely warmed up to me. This is I wasn't sure if I was going to get it because there is a bit of repetition to this game. That's what always I find once I'm about like 40 or 50 hours into Dark Souls, or not necessarily that far, but deep into the game, is that it's the same old, and what's really driving you forward is to see the next monster and to conquer the next area. That's really the driving force and to beat the bosses. So, you know, the combat does become a little repetitive. It's fun. It is still a fun system, but after rolling and dodging and attacking like your 5,000th skeleton, it does get a little boring. So, we'll see if this sticks with me, how far I can get into it, but at least for now, I am enjoying it quite a bit. I've tried out a couple of builds. I'm going with the Knight. Probably not the sexiest build, but it seems to take a lot of damage, and it's sort of the playstyle I like. I do like the nimble, fast type, but I'm getting hit too often, so I'm impatient. I'm one of those very impatient players. I know I shouldn't be doing three attacks on a boss because I know he's going to hit me back. I should be doing two and dodging away and then rolling back and hitting him two more times. But I'm the type who'll hit him three and then hit him three again. That's just the way I will and just take the hit. What else? Enter the Gungeon. This game sort of came out for everyone. It's a little indie game. It's sort of a bullet hell rogue type shooter. It's the graphics are gorgeous, the gun sounds, the sound effects on the guns is really fun. It's definitely worth checking out. It's pretty cheap, you know. It's like a $15-$20 game. It's not as fast paced as I would like, but the guns are really while you're there. It's also got funny things, bullets shooting bullets. So your enemies are bullets shooting bullets at you. The characters you can play are pretty funny. One of them has a dog, so I like that character. And I love her gun though, but I do like the dog. Her default gun is a little slow, but the little dog running around is awesome. Following you around, the level designs, they're pre-made levels, so you will see repeats after a while. It's definitely a fun game that you jump on, you play for 15, 20 minutes, sort of a palate cleanser type game, and then you can jump off. But I do enjoy it. And finally, A Sorcery 1, 2, and 3. These have been around for a while. So this is a remake of the Steve Jackson Choose Your Own Adventure / role-playing books that came out when I was a kid. So that was a long time ago. And they totally redid it. You've probably seen it. It's been out for iOS for a while now, several years. I believe it's out for Android as well. It came out for PC just recently. And if you like Choose Your Own Adventure books, this is the ones to get. They're gorgeous. They allow you to rewind It's a combination of really amazing adventures plus combat. The story is wacky. It's not an easy story in the sense that you don't just win automatically. There's a lot of tough decisions you have to make. And as you play through it, it really gets expansive. Sorcery 1 is a pretty straightforward, almost linear game. Sorcery 2 takes place in a city, and you can play that 10 times. There's a lot of replay value of Sorcery 2, and Sorcery 3 is even bigger. So there's a lot of replay value. So if you like Choose Your Own Adventure books or those type of books, this is probably the best series to get. It's out on Steam. I like it, but it has the nice thing about it. Playing it on the iPhone is okay. Playing on the iPad's okay, but on your computer, it's nice and big, easy to read. You can see the full-fledged graphics, which are gorgeous. It's just a fantastic. And, of course, I'm eagerly waiting Sorcery 4 to come out, and that's the final book in the series. And they took the original books and completely rewrote them. So for those of you who ever played the original books, it starts off kind of the same, but then it quickly changed. They quickly changed and rewrote significant portions of these books. As for other things that are coming out, Ratchet and Clank, I really want to try that. I'm like, I know myself too good. I'm like, as soon as I buy it, I'm going to play it for a few hours and probably never play it again. So I'm trying to hold off on buying it just yet. The original, it's a remake of the original Ratchet and Clank with whole new features, levels, etc. It's like a reboot. The movie's coming out, so that's why they came with it. But the Ratchet and Clank series on the PS2 was amazing, and the graphics on that were just mind-boggling. I can only imagine what this thing looks like on a PS4. I've seen the videos, but I know it doesn't do it justice. There was almost, when you would play this game, there's almost too much going on when you would play this game, so I can imagine there's almost sensory overload using the PS4 version. I definitely want to try that out. Banner Saga 2 just came out. The Banner Saga 1 is a game I really liked but had a hard time getting into. Sounds like a strange compliment. The graphics are gorgeous. The gameplay was pretty good. The story was really obtuse. But I did play it most of the way through. I didn't quite finish it because towards the end it got a little bit grindy. But I really did. It's one of those games that I really liked and I wish it was better. So from everything I hear, the Banner Saga 2 is exactly that. It's the better game, really good story, improved combat, just overall a big upgrade. So I'm looking forward to playing that. Came out for PC. It's like $20. So that's it with some of the games I've been playing and looking forward to. I'm going to do this like every time. Just give you an idea what I'm playing, just what I think of them. I play so much. I don't really going to do full-fledged reviews, like mini reviews and mini overviews. And with that, let's go to Show Mail.
Show Mail!
So, got some Show Mail here. Again, you could always write me via Twitter, or you can write me feedback at gamingsteve.com. There's a million ways to get in touch with me. That's probably the two easiest ways. I got the first question from Ben. Says, thoughts on mid-generation console upgrades, expectations for NX, and will we ever see a next-gen or incremental from here out? So, mid-generation console upgrades. I talked a bit about that with the Neo. Might be the way that they're going to start upgrading consoles, because it is a huge, significant upgrade to make people buy new consoles. But if you can get people to go the Nintendo route with the Game Boy, which they were the absolute masters of, that people just continuously rebuy the same system, only a little bit better or more powerful, then they'll do it. I have, 20 Game Boys, and like, I think the latest one, the DS, the new DS, I think I have like 3 of them, and just because they're, I don't even know why, I don't even play it that much, just because, I want a new version, I want the Monster Hunter version, there's the Legend of Zelda version, I'll buy that one. They're really good at that, and if they can copy that same success without killing the developers, I think we're going to see more of these incremental upgrades, because there's also a lot to be said about having people with installed hardware. If you already have an Xbox, wouldn't you rather just have them buy the Xbox version 2? or the Xbox version 3 of the same system than having to buy and commit to a whole new system. That's how cell phones work. I mean, that's why there's so much product loyalty, is that you want to keep the same cell phone and sort of stay in the same ecosystem. So you don't want to leave. You don't want to leave your iPhone because you don't want to move all your things over or your iTunes purchases. You want to keep everything. So I think this is probably the way of the future, that you're going to see incremental upgrades. The Neo is probably the first one. And if that's successful, you're going to see it from everyone going forward. And there might not be another console ever again. There might just be the same way we have the iPhone 4 and 5 and 6 and 6 Plus and 7 and 7 Plus. That we'll be seeing the PlayStation 4 and then the Neo and then the Neo 2. And then, you know, they'll probably start even go away from, I mean, if they're smart, they can go away from the numbers. Unfortunately, it's already been ingrained in our brains that new number equals new system equals new games. But really what they should do is new number equals new system, faster processor, you can still play all your existing games. If I was going to guess, that's the way. It's also way cheaper from a manufacturing point of view. They can keep, you know, a fair amount of their board infrastructure intact. Yeah, they still have to manufacture new chips, but it's a lot easier to keep upgrading existing manufacturing techniques and architecture than to go with a brand new one. For the NX, I have no idea. I love Nintendo, as many of you know who listen to me. I find Nintendo is probably the console I play more than any other. It's not probably, it definitely is. There was actually a study out a couple of months ago where they took the average score of exclusive games for each console, and Nintendo destroyed everyone else. And that's really why. There's so many good Nintendo-only exclusives that you can't get anywhere else. And that's what brings me back. Nintendo makes their own games, and very few people support Nintendo outside of Lego, really. Lego games and a few others. And you know what? That's fine. They sell a fair number of their games. They're very successful. They keep all the money in the company because they have their own game development. Yeah, it's expensive to do their own game development, and it would be cheaper if they can just get a million other companies to make, you know, games for them, and then they can get small chunks of profitability from each game sold. But if you're seeing what I see, that market's kind of dying out. Nintendo's a little bit ahead of the curve, is that, you know, right now, PlayStation 4, there's a lot of reasons why PlayStation 4 is outselling Microsoft, but one of the big ones is no doubt they have exclusive games that Microsoft simply doesn't have. And a lot of the Microsoft-only exclusive games really aren't that good. Or didn't really hit a note with anyone to the same level that the PS games did. And you can't even really lump Nintendo in there because they're in their own quadrant of games and game types and gamers. So Nintendo is just going to keep doing the same thing they did before. What am I expecting? I'm expecting it's going to be a Nintendo system. There's going to be Nintendo-type games. As long as there's a new Pikmin on it, I'm going to buy it. And those of you who do have the Wii, or the Wii U, should I say, go out and buy Lego City Undercover. Incredibly great game that no one played. It is a Grand Theft Auto clone in the world of Lego with fantastic humor and probably one of the best end sequences ever in video game history. I love the final. Most games usually peter out at the end. This one is a really exciting end game sequence, from everything from the graphics to the gameplay to the music. Really good game. Next, I have from Zombie Shakespeare, wrote me a whole bunch. He wrote me, will Valve ever release Half-Life 3? No. There's your answer. No, a little more. Yeah, no, they're never going to release Half-Life 3. Valve makes a lot of these companies, Blizzard's going towards this direction. They make all their money on Dota. You know, that's where they make their money. So Dota 2, that's where they're making their money. They're making their money on hats in Team Fortress 2. You know, unless they can figure out a way to make Half-Life 3 a incremental game that they can make money on forever, I doubt it highly. You know, Half-Life was obviously a genre-defining game. Half-Life 2 and the whole Orange Pack was really designed as an entrance way for people to get into and onto Steam, and it worked. That's why they put out so much with the Orange Pack that they figured, okay, we really want to give everyone value for their money. Yeah, it came out for other systems, but it was really to get people onto the Steam platform, and they've sort of coasted ever since because they just make so much money on it. If they do it, it'll basically be a passion project, but I doubt it. I doubt you can see that anytime soon. Next up I have, also from Zombie Shakespeare, now StarCraft II is finished. How do you feel about it? What RTS games would you recommend at the moment? StarCraft II is not finished. They just released a brand new expansion pack of ghost missions. They're not going to finish it. They're doing the same thing, but Blizzard's getting very smart. They already have an engine, so they'll just keep coming out with content built within that engine. It's very simple for Blizzard to come out with new content. I used to go there and play. I remember back when, this is way back, way, way, way back, Warcraft 3 was coming out. And it was coming out in a few weeks, okay? This was not like, oh, it's coming out in a few months. It was coming out in a few weeks. And I went there and I played some of the levels, and they only finished about 70% of the single-player levels. They were not done with them. They were still building them that late in the game. And the reason is because their game tools are so good that they can come out with these games really easily. So they're going to keep doing the same thing. They're going to use their game tools. They're going to come out with StarCraft 2 levels. I wouldn't be surprised if you see Diablo 3 levels and so forth. They're going to a different model. Now, when it comes to RTS games, what would I recommend at the moment? StarCraft 2? I don't play a lot of RTS anymore, and the ones I do play is StarCraft II. I used to be a huge RTS player in the game back when Dune came out and Total Annihilation. That's probably one of my favorite games of all time is Total Annihilation. Man, that game was great. And back then, there was a new unit coming out every week, and it was free, and the game was crazy and madness, and it was a 3D game, one of the few at the time were voxel-based. It was gorgeous, and that game was great, fantastic. Nowadays, you know, the meta has shifted. Now we're into team shooters, Dota type games. Obviously, well, it's pretty much everything. You know, there's just so many different types of game types out there, and the real time, the RTSs, they're still out there, but there's only a few of them, and StarCraft 2 is the most polished. You know what? My friend of mine, he just went. He is a hardcore WoW player. When I mean hardcore, he raids 4 days a week still. You know, he plays every night. He just can't stop playing. He has like 10,000 hours on his account, and he just ran out of things to do. So he said, you know what? I'm going to start playing some other games. He started to go to a few others. He went to a couple of other MMOs. He was trying out some of the new ones. And I remember I was talking to him like a week later. I'm like, oh, how's that going? And he says, you know what? I can't go to them. They're just not polished enough. They just don't have enough bells and whistles. And the thing is, Blizzard has figured everything out. Like, they figured it all out. Everything's there. Every type of gameplay is there. Whatever you want to do, it's there. And these other games are lacking, and I go back to it. And that's kind of how I feel about StarCraft 2. And it's going to keep getting expanded. It's not to that point yet, but it's getting expanded. They're going to keep putting more modes in, and you'll be able to play it like you'll be able to play WoW or anything else. And even in its current state, it's just fantastic. Next up is Zombie Shakespeare. Is the PlayStation 4.5 a terrible idea? Nope, I already went through all that. I won't rehash it. Maybe? I guess we'll find out soon enough. So let's close up the show, shall we?
Gaming Steve's final thoughts.
So that's the show. Thanks for joining me. I expect to be trying to do this every week or two. I think maybe twice a week schedule might be easier than my once a week schedule I was trying to do. If you have any questions you want to answer in the show, you can write me at contact@gamingsteve. If there's any games you'd want me to try, you could also write me. And again, you can send me Twitter, GamingSteve. I'm on Facebook. There's a million ways to get in touch with me. I pretty much own everything and will buy anything, even if I play it for 10 minutes, just to try it out. I'm a game trier outer, if you will. I don't finish as much, but I like to see everything and try everything out, see every game to know a little bit about it, try every genre of game. So any games you'd like me to see and try, give me a holler. Otherwise, I will talk to you later. See ya.
Been listening to Gaming Steve. Until next week, watch out for headcrabs.